Okay, it's 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make a motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Moulton. Okay, the first thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll do a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Would you like us to introduce there?
No. Hi, everyone.
Hi. We're glad to see you, Carol. All right. So next thing on the agenda is we're going to make a conference call to the flock safety representative, Logan Poole. So I will dial him up right now. Good evening, Logan. How are you doing? Can everybody hear
doing
Logan?
Well.
Okay. Okay. We're here in the city meeting, and everybody, this is Logan Poole. He is the representative for Flock Safety Systems that Dennis, or Commissioner Metcalf, and myself have been communicating with for about the last 2 months, and we provided information to each one of y'all about the locations for the suggested security cams. The automatic license plate reader cameras would be placed. And anyhow, Logan, would you like to say a few words on your behalf?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Mayor. Council, thanks for having me tonight. I just wanted to make this meeting to make sure I can answer any questions for you guys if y'all had any. So, can I open up the room to you?
Does anybody got any comments, questions, anything at all?
I did, and I can't remember what it was now.
What's that?
I did, and I can't remember, but it'll come to me. Somebody else got it for me.
Okay. We talked this afternoon, Logan, and brought up some good points about the fact that these are point of time, you know, pictures that the flock system only retains the photographs. The data is actually controlled by the contractor, the contractee.
Correct.
And have you talked to the LMP or the LMPD rep yet about us turning the responsibility over to them for the cameras that we'd like to install?
Yes, absolutely. So basically, we have a council, just so you guys can have a familiarity with kind of how this operates. So I'm a local representative with FLOC. So typically, I handle departments from 0 to 35 sworn, as well as cities in the greater Louisville area. So essentially, the regional rep, who I've been contacting, and since we work pretty closely together considering we're in the same area, he will be letting them know, of course, that they will have access once these go into place, once we have the first camera validated, to where any of that data can be shared with LMPD because they have the CGIS verification to get notified for hot vehicles, NCIC, hot list warranted vehicles. So all that access can be displayed to LMPD. And, of course, that's all up to the city. So considering this is under your account, you control the data points within your account. So essentially, that data can be shared with them. You can control what data gets shared with them. again, regarding more of the NCIC hot vehicle hot list that you guys build. And anything else from there, it's on the same network, so even your neighboring cities around you that are using flock cameras can also have their own hot list. So LMPD will use those hot lists from each of those cameras around Louisville to then build more of a web for anything that comes through there. So just like Mayor said, these cameras are just taking pictures of the rear of the vehicle. So essentially it's just capturing the license plate as well as the make, model, color of the vehicle. So for example, you know, just a quick, easy example, if there was a robbery and someone calls into the LMPD and says, gives them a description of that vehicle, they can go find that license plate from that vehicle description based on if they've passed any of these flock cameras in that area. Same goes for if an NCIC or a warranted vehicle comes through the area, they will be alerted for that.
They also, it also scans for the stolen vehicles, if I understand right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. All right.
So what exactly is a hot list?
So a hot list is something that the department themselves, for example, if they have a vehicle that they've been watching or, you know, are gathering more details into an investigation, they will enter that license plate into a hot list. So that's a custom list built by the department. And, of course, just like anything else, they have to have reasonable calls to build an investigation around that plate.
And how do they know? Are they notified? Are they deemed that this vehicle has went through an area?
Correct. You're spot on. So, basically, if that hot list is developed with that license plate and it's passing one of those cameras, they will get an alert for that.
Okay.
So, they'll know the location, will know the time it passed. So, it's giving them awareness to be able to respond.
Okay, and what is the NCI?
NCIC is just basically it's the list that a department will have access to. It goes in tandem with their CJIS verification. So essentially, like, for example, as a city, you guys would have the CJIS verification to go in and get alerts from NCIC. So NCIC is just the list that those stolen vehicles would be put into. So they will have the access for that.
Okay.
But that's a national list, isn't it?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to, the plan is Dennis and I or none of the commissioners will have access to the data because we don't have any law enforcement use for it. And the flock data is only on file for 30 days, correct?
Correct.
So
it's basically filming, and if something happens, we can go back to it for reference.
It only takes a picture. It doesn't film.
Correct. Yep, just takes a picture. Just so that takes a photo picture. Of that license plate will be stored for 30 days.
Okay.
All right.
And do, with it being within the city, we don't have to have permission from, like, say, an HOA within the city. We don't have to
play. To put cameras in?
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, the cameras have all been, are all being placed within our city limits.
And what if they were vandalized? Who pays
if
that?
If they're vandalized, we will replace that camera.
Okay.
The only time, and this is something I relay to Mayor, the only time that there would be an associated fee is if you were relocating the camera to a completely different location and our tech team was coming out there to deinstall and reinstall.
Okay.
So, and of course, these are, you know, evergreen cameras. You know, they're built to be in the ground for a long time. So.
That's good to know.
Is there anything else? Commissioner Resendez, you got anything?
No.
Okay, well, in that case, I would like to see if there's anybody who'd like to make a motion to go ahead and contract with Flock Safety.
I'll make a motion that we move ahead with the installation of the Flock camera, Flock Safety.
And at the six locations we have?
Six locations.
And what were the locations?
Okay, the locations are, we have two on the West Port Road and Northumberland. one is taking the ingress and the other one is taking the egress. It's getting the shots of the license plates going both ways.
Right.
And both lanes on the exits, okay? Then then there's one that's on Ludenburg Drive. It's going to be on Ludenburg Drive as you come in from Coldstream. Right there where our signs are.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one is at the entrance on Halifax from Oakhurst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's three. Okay. Then there's one on that's positioned on Mansman for the entrance to East Bay Villas and turning left on the Pacelli. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's another one over on Tazewell that does the same thing going into Trace Condos or turning right on the Pacelli.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I second the motion.
All right. So the motion has been seconded by Commissioner Maupin. All right. We're going to do a roll call vote, and we'll start with Commissioner Maupin.
Yes.
Commissioner Resendez?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Mayor Stoneham, yes. Okay, Logan, I will send the paperwork to you in the morning.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mayor. Thanks y'all for having me.
And y'all have a blessed evening, okay?
Okay, thank y'all.
All right.
I'm sorry, we got here late. What was that board right there?
Block.
Do you know what block is?
No.
Okay. Let us introduce ourselves first, okay? I'm Mayor Stoneham.
I'm Beth Blush, the city clerk.
I'm Susan Maupin, utility commissioner.
I'm Christina, the property maintenance commissioner.
Beth Metcalf, safety commissioner.
Dan Small, treasurer.
Robert Dewey, I'm the attorney.
So we don't want just regular residents. Y'all are council.
We're the commission.
Commission.
But they want residents to come.
Yeah. Yeah, we everybody's welcome to come to the meeting. We start promptly at 7 p.m., okay? The first thing that was on the agenda was we've been, for the last couple of months, we've been considering and looking at the Flock safety, which are the automatic license plate readers that, you know, basically Coldstream, I don't know where you all live, but in Coldstream, they put them in last fall, okay? And the positions that we've just addressed will fill in the gap so that when they go from 22 to Westport Road, they're going to get, you know, there's going to be cameras to catch any type of activity that needs to be caught, okay?
They're just taking pictures of the license plate.
They're just taking pictures of the back of the car.
Of all the cars that are going
through. Right.
Yeah.
All day, 24/7.
24/7.
So if something does happen, then right. They'll be able to play that back to speed.
Well, no, it's just basically the data's kept for 30 days, okay? And what it does is there is, you know, with the AI that they have now, they basically put the information in, they can put the license plate number in, the type of car, color of the car, whatever information they've got, they can put it in there. And then the people searching the data. Flock just has the pictures. They don't have the data search. The company, like we're not going to be handling it. We're turning the responsibility over to LMPD because they have those cameras all over Louisville now. And this will just fill in more area where when they put in a description of a car or if there's a car that's on a hot list from the national list, it will actually go in and there the anagram or algorithm looks at the data and can see if it's in there real quick. You know how quick computers work, okay? If they get alerted, then they can send a patrol car or the police to the area. That's how they're catching a lot of these criminals now, all for renewable. Even these, you've heard that they've got the drones now. They're a different company, but they work on the same idea. They send them out to survey the area, and basically they get the information earlier than the police getting there. Like last week, I saw something on some article about where somebody called in about somebody trying to break into the storage area somewhere out on the west or southwest area, and they deployed a drone and actually got the drone up in the air to that area in a matter of minutes and actually picked up on the suspect and actually apprehended him inside the storage area. Okay? But this is all works together. Okay? And that's what...
And when does this happen for... I live in Worthington Hills.
Okay. We just now approved going through with the contracting.
Okay.
And the contracting... Now, once I sign it, it will the positions that we've located, we've agreed to put them in. They will now start the process of pushing, you know, getting the process of getting them installed. It may take 30 days, 60 days, but it's going to happen now. Okay, does that help you?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Did you come here? I have. Here's what we have. If you do you want to make some comments? You have
yes,
some.
I'm
okay.
Here to make a comment.
Okay. All right. Can you please state your name and your
yes.
address?
My name is Elisa Freeman Carr. I live at 11007 Lindenburg Court. Okay. Are you ready to hear my comment?
Yeah.
Okay. And I have some things that I'd like to bring you up to take a look at as well. Okay. I think I have enough. You take one from the top and then.
Take
that. Take two different ones, put them pass it around.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So my name is Elisa. My husband and I live at 11007 Lindenburg Court. And I'm here basically, I wanted to have a discussion and talk to you about what happened. I know you asked where I live, and basically I am a resident, but I'm also a neighbor, a door, and a taxpayer. In reality, my family lives probably within minutes of all of you, and we're not very distant. We're, you know, within the same community. That is why I'm deeply concerned and confused about some actions that have impacted my family and our property. A code enforcement officer came to our home, and placed a sticker directly on the door. The residue from the sticker cannot be removed, which has resulted in damage to our property. What is most concerning is that this action took place despite there was no confirmed complaints filed against us when I called to verify. In an effort to resolve the issue appropriately, my husband went to the code enforcement office multiple times, once with our contractor and again on his own to seek clarity and a resolution. At the same time, someone came continuously and they were calling code enforcement to our home repeatedly, resulting in what looks like ongoing harassment and further defacing of our property. We're law-abiding citizens. We take pride in our home and in our neighborhood. And like everyone else, we want to ensure that our family feels safe and respected and treated well throughout this process. And this has made us feel degraded and deeply discouraged. I brought the photos that you're looking at for you to consider, and I want you to think about this. Would you want this done to your home? Would you want that property where you cannot get that off of your glass? Would you? Okay. As elected officials, you're entrusted to serve and protect the interests of your constituents. Your role is to support us. You're to support the community. to allow and overlook actions like this makes it's not positive for the community at all. It's not positive for the residents. I'm also concerned about some of the other ordinances that are happening. I'd like for you to consider those and consider that you're here to help us build safe, strong, respected neighborhoods, not to put more ordinances on us to keep us down from being able to prosper together. And this is not happening. I want you to consider, require being transparent, fairness, and accountability to what you're doing. I urge you to let you know that we are law-abiding citizens and we went through the process as we should have. I went on the website to find out what exactly needed to happen. It wasn't until we got this ordinance, maybe weeks later, that something was on the website that said that you can, you're supposed to contact Louisville Metro Codes and Regulations. That was not on there before that. I want to say that. I'm just concerned about how this happened, and I wanted you all to know that. Especially since I realized last month you all voted for a raise for yourself, and we're going to be paying for it. So, thank you.
I appreciate your comments. Is this for a building permit? Did you have a building permit?
That's what I'm saying.
I went down there twice. They kept telling me I didn't need it. Twice. Then I got to go a third time because y'all sent another thing telling me that this is not.
Well, they didn't send it code
today. Yeah. We finally got a thing to clarify. You draw. I went down there twice, but y'all kept putting. Y'all kept doing this. And I'm like, I told them the price like it's $50. I would have paid the first time.
Yeah.
I told them I would have paid it. They said, you don't need one.
And but somebody.
What did they? Why did they tell you you didn't need one?
I don't know.
We don't
just
know.
Not,
he took them the pictures.
Took the pictures, took everything.
And so when, and it's weird because when he went down and was talking to somebody, someone from Codes kept, you know, they were coming to our house as if we weren't really doing that.
Yeah.
And so the guy comes to the, and I've got the video because he and I were both at work. The guy comes and he says, I don't know who you talk to. And bam, just put the whole thing on our wall, on our window like that. So I contacted Councilman Winkler's office, and he contacted Codes and Reg, and he said, thank you for your patience on this door sticker concern. Councilman Winkler heard back from Codes and Reg just a short while ago. They are making an administrative change. Moving forward, they will use a door hanger followed by a letter if necessary on residential homes like yours. I think the stickers were a little more, and I know that this is, it may not help you, yada yada, but that's what they're going to do. But I am trying to tell you all, I don't know if you're calling Codes on your own or what you're doing, because again, I contacted 311. There was not any type of communication that someone had done that. I'm just saying, we are your neighbor.
You
can't just come, you know, call these codes on your own. Talk to us. Let us know before you start just relegating other people against us. You're supposed to be working with us, not against us.
I understand. A lot of times we've had this problem with permitting down there because there's some people down there, and I'm not making excuses, some people down at permitting, when they see that it's a suburban city, they try and tell the people that are coming there they don't need the permit. But yes, if you look on our website, it's been on there. It's been in different spots on there, but the construction stuff has been on there since the day we put the website up, because I put it on there.
So my suggestion is, you know, it's hard to find different things. I looked all over. I called. I went through the state. They came and did these little things.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it. My suggestion is, if you all have or updating something, you all are getting paid a pretty good sum. Send us a, I'm not going to say it's a pretty good sum, income, but you're getting paid to do stuff. Send us a, is there a way to send a newsletter? Let us know things are updated. Let us know these things. Because going on the website sometimes, things, like you said, it's in one place one day, it's in one place another. And
all the important stuff is right on the homepage.
I see that now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's confusing.
Okay.
So I wanted to come and just let you know that our home has been defaced, and I didn't appreciate it.
Right.
Especially when we went down that trail.
Right.
And if I'm choking, that's like somebody telling you, okay, you can go swim in this swimming pool, and then, you know, okay, well, no, it was wrong. No, you can't, so you're going to get a penalty. It shouldn't work that way.
I know. I understand that.
I did everything we were told to see there. We did everything we were told to see.
Did you get a letter before you got here?
Every time I took the letter down, I kept saying they keep telling me that we
needed. On that letter, there should have been a code enforcement officer's name and phone number.
I called them.
And we called them.
I called and left them a message.
Okay.
And that's why I didn't understand when he came back and put that on there.
Okay.
He didn't even call me back.
I know there are busy people, okay? And I wish they would have called you back, and I apologize for, you know, their actions. The reason why we don't approach anybody is because of some people aren't as cordial, okay? It's not our job to approach people, but when there is a need for work, and Dennis and I have been out quite a bit and have found people getting their heating and air conditioning replaced, the water heaters replaced, and we check for the permits and they're not there, we do report them because that's a safety and health and safety violation. Because if they get installed wrong, and Carol Campbell, I made the phone call to her when they were having something done at their house.
We had new heating and air conditioner put in, and we were on the list. They were going to go ahead and send like an inspector, but they hadn't done it yet. But we called. They came out. They had to move where the air conditioner was. The way they ran the wires, they had to move those wires because they said just the way that if somebody kind of tried to get in there, touched, you could get electrocuted. So it was a safety issue for me, and I appreciate, even though when I called them, they said, yes, you were on the list, but said they wouldn't have been out for like another 6 weeks. So... But anyway, I get safety.
We both do.
Right.
But what we're saying is, it's as though you're working against us. So I don't know if there's a resolution, and I get that you're saying that some people aren't understanding. If you maybe put, you know, something in there that said, just alerting people on what they need to do before you're actually calling codes.
Okay.
Because
let me say this real quick. I try not to talk much because he said I get kind of I get it, y'all go through the city or whatever. My point is, and I understand you don't want to approach people because then you get confrontation. I'm okay with that.
Might get shot.
My thing is this. Why didn't one of y'all put someone there and say, okay, contact us? That way, that would eliminate the city totally.
Well, we don't
contact you all first.
We don't have the email addresses or the phone numbers of everybody in the city. All we got is mailing
addresses. But you have an address. Contact you all. And then we would understand how it works in the neighborhood. Don't, you know, instead of keep sending these things, sending us to the city, all you got to do is put a thing, okay, contact and we'll explain it.
Because the city, they weren't even talking to each other. But you all were calling codes because
we were not
doing what we needed to do.
Yeah.
And they weren't. One person's telling us one thing, and then the guy that's coming and putting stuff on our door is hearing you all say they're not following regulations.
Yeah. No, we only, when it gets reported, it only gets reported once. They have follow-up, okay? It's, we have a responsibility to Jefferson County, okay? everything that gets done to a house, whether it's interior, exterior, has a value to it. And you know how that is with Jefferson County. They want their money. So sometimes there's things that can be done. Like just replacing a deck is not a problem. But if they expand the deck, they're supposed to get a permit. Okay? If you went through the 811 like you were supposed to. Okay? But here again is, like I said, our policy is not to approach people. Okay? We hand it over to the law enforcement or the enforcement people because they're the ones that are supposed to handle it properly. And it basically, we're the bottom of the totem pole. We don't have a code enforcement board. If we had had a code enforcement board, and you have to have a code enforcement then you have to have a code enforcement officer, and the officer has to be a regular law enforcement officer. And there's certain procedures you've got to go through it. So I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just saying if you ever have a question, you can call up the city. We will answer the phone, especially myself and Dennis. We will definitely answer the phone. The other commissioners, they have theirs going to a voicemail email system. In other words, when they get a voicemail, it pops up on their email, and they are to respond that way.
They call me back on certain things that I've called right. for. I will say that.
Right. That's how we handle these things. If you get an approach from a code enforcement officer and you want to know why, you're always welcome to call me or Dennis.
But if it's a complaint, why can't you just leave a thing or a call us, to explain what happened? If we don't know, if y'all can know the thing, tell us to go to the city, you left in the dark, so you don't have a clue.
Right.
All you have to do, one of us filed a complaint, which I'm assuming one of y'all did. Okay.
It didn't sound like the blame. We just there was construction going on. There was no previous deck on there. Okay, we don't make the decision. All we do is report it.
It wasn't a deck. Yeah, it was a paradigm.
Right,
okay,
right.
That's what it is. Isn't that a gazebo kind of thing? I mean, there's no square footage to that, so why?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is.
It's above your head. It's
they basically look at it as added value to the property.
But I can tell you, when we were first done it, took the pictures down, and they was like, this is not a violation. He clearly, that's why we took his car. Yeah, I wasn't going to do it to my wife, but take his car. Because he was like, this is not a violation because you're not building an actual deck onto the house. And he said, as long as the patio that was going to extend it, if it ain't up to 4 feet, it's not an issue. It's not a code violation. So we didn't think we were doing anything wrong, and then we keep getting harassed by the same thing. And then y'all telling us, okay,
only make one report to code enforcement. That's it.
I don't believe it.
Okay. Yeah, it's only one time.
Okay. Well, it was an inconvenience to us. I want you to see that.
I understand.
I'm not understanding why it is a violation, because if it's not a deck and it's above your head, that could be considered a trellis. As far as I'm concerned, so I don't understand why.
The thing is,
it's in the house, so how could it be a house?
All you could see was what was looking like was a deck.
Okay. So it went on speculation.
It doesn't look like a deck.
I know it doesn't look like a deck at all when you get it finished, but when you put up 4x4s, like you put up on a deck.
In our yard. You want to go by and saw me in.
That's my point.
I actually hope somebody runs against you for me. For the past 2 years, no one's I've been doing it, but I
right.
have it happen. Have a good one.
Anyhow, moving right along. February 17th, 2026, city meeting minutes. Is there any corrections to the minutes? Is there any discussion about them? All right. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mopin. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Commissioner Resendez. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? City financial reports for February 2026. They were distributed and posted. Any questions, concerns? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the city financial reports?
I make a motion to accept.
Thank you, Commissioner Mopin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The invoice, the receipts have been around. All right. Legal. Here we got Commissioner Resendez, do you want to talk about that one situation on Middlesex with the neighbor who talks about the rental property, and we had the trash issue, and then we have that property's been out
there. So we don't have the
right.
Like, it's not registered. We don't have the owner's information, anything, and there's only a phone number. And it's for, I believe, for rent right now. And like last time, last month, we know that everything was picked up and everything, but there's just no way to contact the owner.
Right.
We don't know who owns the property?
We know who owns the property.
But like a contact.
There's no, we mail the property tax bill to that address.
Okay.
But somehow it's getting paid by the property owner, and we don't have a clue where the property owner's not living in the house. They're renting it out. And they're not registered with Metro either, because Metro puts it on their business portal. And if they aren't registered with us, we can at least go on the business portal and get the information we need to contact the property owner. In this case, they're not. And after the trash incident, I was driving down there one day and checking to see if the trash was gone. The trash was gone. But guess what? There was people working on in that house. It just so happens the one person that was out by the front, they were about to park, and it happened to be some relationship to the person that was in the driveway, and I asked him if that was the rental property, if that's rental property. He said, yeah. And I said, do you own the property? He says, yeah. Of course, he tried to start off with, I don't understand English, and I says, I don't believe it, but I didn't say that, but I'm like, this a rental property? And they said, yeah. I said, is that the number? Yeah. And so that's all I got out of them. So we've got the number, but the problem is we need an official way of dealing with these people that aren't following our registration requirements.
What's the address?
4808 Middlesex Drive. And so we'd like to have that arrangement to where we can, when we run into this problem, because we've got quite a few houses that aren't registered, but we've been using the information we can get off of Jefferson County's business portal.
And so what do you want him to do?
Well, wanted to be able to see if he has the, or if we can legally send them notification through you all.
Yes. Okay. We can send the mail. Yeah, the only address on PDA is the one that's there.
It's the
same. Okay, what about I volunteer to go find the check that mailed it, that paid, see if there's an address on it.
It may have come through.
It may have, but it may be a check I could look at.
Sure, if you want to. I don't know when.
Do you have a name? Or I can look up.
There it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You keep track of. Do you need to know when the deposit was?
I would probably have to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can find out.
What if we can? Okay. What if we can?
I can. Let me do it. Because.
Okay.
I know when the deposit is.
We just need a way of
4808.
Well, when did all this happen with us in the past month? I mean, why haven't we heard about this?
About the what?
About the door issue and
that's me. That happened
back in January.
Yeah, that work started back last fall.
And we're just now hearing about it because of.
Well, they may have just stuck that on the door. I don't know.
Just because you reported it doesn't mean it wasn't reported another time.
Yeah.
So anybody can report 311 or get online and report
that. Right.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, it's. I can kind of see where she's coming from. I mean, is you know, people out there looking. Let me call 311. Got my speed dial. Blah 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 blah. You know, I mean, it is kind of.
Our responsibility is do what's best.
You can't speculate and cause someone.
Look.
A lot. That's got
it's,
to be
it,
a
the,
lot.
The subject matter is done. Okay.
It's not done.
It is done. Okay. It is done because. We are responsible for the property values of this city, okay?
I understand that.
And the only actions that we can take is taking it to the proper authorities, period. We don't make approaches on any personal locations because we are not going to run the risk for our personal safety. Do you want to go up knocking on the doors?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, it's one thing to confirm, it's another to speculate. And in this case, it sounds like they have been greatly inconvenienced because of speculation.
Let me put it this way. You see 4x4s going up in the back of a house where there's no deck? You speculate that the deck's going up.
You might. Other people
it's
might not.
Right. I mean, people.
What were we supposed to do? I mean, it's on the website when they're going to do construction that they have to get a permit.
Does it state for, like, what if they were building a trellis? And a pergola could be considered.
If there's anything that's more than 200 square feet, it's required to have a permit.
And you know that there's were more than 200 square feet.
Wait a minute. You aren't listening to what I said. I am not law enforcement. I am not code enforcement.
I didn't say that.
Am the mayor. When, and even Dennis, you, anybody, if you see something going on, it's your responsibility, if you don't know, to find out. And the only way we can find out is to send somebody out there that's eligible to go on the property to approach the people. How they approach it is not our concern.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to speculate something, it would be my concern. That's all I'm going to say about that. I mean, it just seemed like they went through a terrible inconvenience.
They might have went through a terrible inconvenience. That I'm not going to disagree with you. But when you see driving up the street and you see posts coming up behind a house about 10 feet out, one post, and you see cement, and you see a bracket coming from the house, it's pretty good. There's an easily assumed that a deck may be going up. At the point at that point, because of the fact that PVA did not have a picture of a deck on that house, then it needs to be up. It needs to be reported, and because decks added onto a house require a permit. It doesn't.
The deck.
They still needed a permit. Even for this, they still needed a permit. Your permitting people are not the ones that know the regulations like the code enforcement. Whatever they were putting on there, the code enforcement officer has the ability. They have the right to appeal it.
This is where I'm confused. Okay, so would that be if it's attached to the home? Because
yeah, this thing is attached to the house.
It's not attached and it's further in the yard.
No, it's attached to the home.
So would gazebo need a permit too?
Who?
Gazebos.
If it's more than 200 square feet, yeah.
Okay. It looked like from the street that it was attached to the house.
Right.
The beams are touching the house, but they're not attached.
No, they are attached to the house.
My thing is speculation.
It's sad that they were treated that way.
Yeah. I'm not saying they were fairly treated. What I'm saying is our responsibility as a commission is we're responsible to the county, because we don't, the code enforcement people can't be everywhere, okay? And they are their issue. You should, because we pay taxes for them.
Well, I realize that. I'm coming from a place where I don't look to have somebody go through something like this unless
it's... Is it code enforcement's job to figure out if they need a permit or not?
Yeah.
So you could see a post in the backyard and you call code enforcement and code enforcement goes out there and goes, oh, they don't need a permit, and it's done, right?
It's done.
So code enforcement,
right,
ideally went to their house, saw that they needed a permit, and got the ball rolling.
Right.
I don't know if that's what happened or not. That's how it's supposed to work.
That's
so right. It's not your fault.
We
it's not
just
anybody's fault who informs code enforcement. It's...
Right.
If
we just ignored everything that went on in the city, there's no telling what some of these places would look like.
I understand that too, but I'm also a resident, just like they are. This experience, it was a huge inconvenience for them. They weren't getting the proper answers. It was just like a perfect storm, you know, and they're upset thinking that the council members are causing them grief, and that's not good either. That's where I'm coming from.
We don't know what they were talking
about. I didn't even know about this. If I, you know, and she was clearly upset standing over me doing that. It wasn't you. So, you know, and I'm just not hearing about it.
It caused the problem.
Code enforcement caused the problem.
What makes things bad? We don't know what somebody told them, too.
Right.
So if
right.
If somebody came to their house multiple times, which doesn't sound right, we don't know what actually went down or why they kept going to their house. They shouldn't have kept going to their house over and over again.
So if I want to build a deck, like Dan said, I could put a 4x4 in the backyard in concrete and have them come look at it. They know if you don't need a part.
No,
then
no.
Then you leave and you build a deck.
You build your deck, then it gets reported, because here's what I have to do when I get the PVA assessment material in April. I have to go through and look at every piece of property and see if there's stuff that's been added on. And the reason why I do that is because we're responsible for the tax dollars that we're responsible to collect, whether it be county, city, or whatever. If people add a deck, it adds value to that house. And if they don't get the permits,
I was told I didn't need a permit.
No.
The guy came and the guy's going to 4x4 and said, you don't need a permit.
No.
She's
not going to just stop at a 4x4.
She's just giving an example. If she starts to do something, code enforcement comes out and says, you don't need a permit for whatever it is that you're doing.
You just said that was the end.
That's the end.
You've
got to
trust them if that's what they said.
They don't, like he said, they don't need to come back more times.
That's code enforcement's job. Right?
That's a stupid example. I'm just going to be plain out because, first off, he's going to ask, what are your plans going forward with this 4x4?
Okay, and she said, I'm going to put a porch swing out in my backyard. Yeah. 2 4x4s.
Okay.
Hang it up.
Okay, and that's it. Okay.
And then I build a deck with those 4x4s instead.
Then you violated the law.
And who's going to tell me?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, speculation. Like, you know, somebody could have some wood, but they're going to repair their fence. They're going to, you know, and it's just, you know, the thing.
Look, there was more than a 4x4. It was dug out. It was dug out behind the house.
You know,
it was already dug out. They were already installing. They had the cement mixer there to mix the cement to put the post in. And there was a bunch of lumber that had been on the side of the house. It was very obvious that they were going to build something big. What it was didn't matter. Our responsibility is when we see something like that, hand it over to the code enforcement people and let them deal with it.
And you did, so it was there. Code enforcement is who caused the problem.
Code enforcement caused the problem. We didn't cause the problem.
Right.
Code enforcement caused the problem. We see a lot of stuff out there. There was a house that's on our lawn. We had no idea that they had built onto the back of the house. Okay?
I could see that a room or a garage, but you know, I know.
When you see a 4x4 go up,
that they are this far from their siding, and it covers the whole back of their house, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. That's, you know, and to speculate and for them to have to.
Sometimes you have to speculate.
To go,
it's not speculation. It's reporting. We don't make the decision. It's that simple. We report what we suspect.
Well,
okay.
If they would have put a 400 square foot room on the back and not got a permit, permitting would have come in and said, you got to tear that down.
I understand that.
So do you speculate and not need it,
right,
or do you speculate and maybe save somebody a lot of money because they don't have to tear down their room?
I mean, they can. The thing
that.
Is code enforcement.
But you don't know.
Everybody is supposed to, when they widen their driveway, is supposed to get a permit downtown. We have had nothing but problems with getting the permit people in that area. I have to, when somebody asks me, I give them the direct person that has that responsibility on permitting to make sure it gets done. Because they can virtually have you tear up the pavement if they want to.
Right. I understand that.
I mean, we...
I understand.
Big
that.
Building that was on Middlesex. 40 by 40, a 40 by 20 square foot footer. Okay? We got called by the neighbors on this. And this has been 3 years ago. And the code enforcement came out, put a stop to it. But it already had the walls up. It was ready to basically put the shingles on the roof. And they tried to say it was a replacement for a shed. But we watched the sides go up, and it looked like it could be an alternative living unit.
Bigger than
the
house.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand that.
You know, if we hadn't jumped on it with the neighbors...
Maybe what the lady said is maybe post these kind of important things.
It's on the website.
Or front page.
It's on the homepage. It's on the homepage. It's been on there since we started. Since that homepage started, it's been there.
Well, I'm just saying, if someone's out, they're looking for these kind of things that,
we're looking,
need to be known and put it on the front page. Damn.
Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Period.
I didn't say that.
That's what exactly it is.
I'm
not going to argue this all night long. I'm going to tell you right
either.
Now. We're arguing over something that we did
not. I'm not arguing.
The code enforcement officer is.
You,
they need to deal with it with Jefferson County because it's a Jefferson County issue. you know, if we don't report stuff to code enforcement, now today I contacted Commissioner Resendez because we found another tenant, a rental tenant, that was driving on the unpaved surfaces and parking. I sent her pictures and had her report it. This particular landlord has his information on the business portal. He had not updated his rental registration with us, and she got the email out to him with the pictures and everything, and he basically complied right away. This is what we have to do. We don't have to go to the door and knock on them. Yeah, and by golly, there's no way I want to. I don't trust anybody anymore.
I don't understand that. Well, it's a shame because, in essence, we are neighbors. And, you know, especially in these times, maybe it's sometimes...
Last summer, we stopped on Ludenburg because there was a heating and air conditioning unit being replaced. And there was, the vans did not have markings on them like they're required to. And I even stopped. And I caught all kind of grief from the person that was having it done.
I've had people call me and ask about you doing that.
I know.
I'm not against that at all, Bob. I'm just saying.
Well, it doesn't matter if we stop or not. We catch grief. We got right the meeting that the Bay Garden people came to and complained about the fact that we had slowed down because they didn't have the permit done. Honestly. It's a no-win situation for us. It's a no-win situation. Unfortunately,
it's really no-win when you got people coming in that you know...
We're going to offend somebody all the time. It doesn't matter.
It's a shame, that's all.
Oh, I know might be a shame. In your opinion, it probably is.
They're not my enemies, they're my neighbors. That's all I got to say about that.
We treat everybody the same. Period.
Okay.
Done. So...
I need addresses. If you can give me the address, I can send the letter.
Okay. All right. So, is everybody okay with that? If we...
That one and any others, yeah.
That if we come across an unregistered...
Yeah, whatever the...
rental property, that we can turn it over to legal.
And just send them a notice?
Just send them a notice, yeah. And if it continues on, we'll have to figure out a way of handling it. More. It's important. First off, it's supposed to be done through Jefferson County anyhow. So that's the reason why I don't press too much other than that. We're going to need a second read on that. Old business. Okay. The fiscal year 2027 budget, proposed budget, you all have a copy of it? Does anybody want to make any immediate changes, or do you just want to pass and move along? Like I said, we really don't have a good read on the revenue because we... You got to pass the property tax bill, so we'll know better what the revenue is we'll have. But these are the categories that we usually had. The only one that was added was the flock.
Safety. And what is the total expense of the flock? I didn't.
It's $18,000 per year for the six cameras. Okay. The reason why I had it at 20 on this is because I didn't.
$18,000.
Yeah, it's $3,000 per camera. We have six cameras. So I added the other 2,000.
And that went into the security expense, or no?
We're still trying to work with LMPD.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And would with that, what does that mean? That we're not, that LMPD is paying for the cameras?
No.
Okay.
The LMPD just, we're not allowed them to monitor because we don't have the staff to,
right,
to do that type of thing. We don't want that responsibility.
Right.
You're more likely to find violators when they're in control of it.
Okay.
And, I mean, they can, they see something serious, they can send a unit right away to the location.
Right.
And look. Sometimes they even need a drone.
Okay, so it's that amount for six cameras a year for LMPD?
No.
No.
It's for Flock.
Okay, that's for Flock to take the pictures.
So did the $18,000 cover the cost of the cameras this year?
They haven't been installed yet. But
will that be how much they cost?
Right.
Then why do we pay $18,000 again next year?
Because we're in another fiscal year. The $18,000 won't happen. The first camera goes in, let's say the first camera goes in the first week of May. We owe them $18,000.
I think going to put the them installation is free. The service is $18,000.
The service, thank you.
Right. Okay. So there's no fee for the cameras. It's the service.
We don't own anything. It's strictly
okay,
a service. Okay, that's the reason why if they get vandalized, they come out
they
of the person.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
All right. That's the only question. Okay. Nothing else on that. We'll move along. Still nothing on the welcoming ambassadors. How about the radio checks? What did we do last month?
I think it was, I think we were on channel 14 tonight.
Dennis, I have a question. Is channel 1 the main?
That's our emergency.
Emergency,
like
okay.
If we're going to be on there due to any kind of a tornado warning or anything like that, we use channel 1.
Channel 1,
and
okay.
And like if we're getting US route that's running around, we use channel 8.
Okay, channel 8 for out running around. And then one is emergencies. That's good to know because if I am like at work or something and come home, then I know what.
It will be on channel one.
Okay.
Okay. 14. All right.
14.
Any commissioners got any old business they want to talk about? All right, move along to new business. Our CDs that we have in place are maturing, and we need to take action on them. On the back of the sheet, just so you know, they can roll over, but when they roll over, they're rolling over to a six-month CD. And the amount of the 6 month, because I talked to her this afternoon, is the APR is 3.25% and the APY is 3.20% and the APY is 3.25%. So.
Is it because it's extended another month?
No, they automatically, I don't know, we're on a special CD, okay? So in the government CDs, because we're required to have collateral, okay, they have to have, they charge 0.15% for maintaining the correct collateral, okay? This is what I got this afternoon. That's why, because when I looked at what I was given earlier, I'm like, wait a minute, that's really not that much difference. But then when I talked to them, I understood what they were talking about. These are, they have a higher rate for the 5 month. The 5 month on a regular, like you and I, would be 3.50, and the APY would be 3.55. So, we get, they take that amount, that 0.15%, and do the collateral so that we have coverage for all our cash and other investments with the bank. It's an expense. No way around it.
Right.
Okay. 6 month is, they don't, these are, the 5 month are special. Anytime they go from a 5 month, it goes automatically to a 6 month. So, and it goes at what the rates are for 6 months at the time of the rollover. So, the one that we have, the best, we can get a little bit more with the 5 month CD. So we'll just cash in what we've got and move the CDs into a 5 month, which will make the maturity date in August. And I was hoping that Linda was here tonight because we want to do, we want to pave that Lewenburg area, and it's going to take about $120,000. And as you can see right now, we have, I don't have it in here. Let's see what we got.
31, 32, 5.
Well, you got, we've got the 384, 5, 315, 91, but that includes a CD. So if we take the 250 off of that, we've got $134,315, and it's going to grow about just short of $2,000 a month between now. And because the oil prices are up, it would be best that we do any kind of repaving in August, plan on it in August, because hopefully all this stuff will come back down.
So that we're waiting on here at the grant?
Well, the Commissioner Beville sent out a document. We didn't get it. They, she just showed the Jefferson County ones, and we weren't listed on the Jefferson County list. Okay. So,
if you go into it off, like, say, in early fall, would the price drop a little bit?
Well, it could. Yeah. Okay. What I'm saying is my point is if we wait and if we go ahead and continue with the 250 for the next 5 months, okay, then we're going to, you know, we're going to get a good chunk of interest, okay? And I think, you know, that's going to be my recommendation is we move to this 5 month, because the next maturity date would be August 27th. Well, it depends on when we're going down. We're planning on going down. We're scheduled to be there on the 27th of March. So 5 months on that would make it August 26th, I think. Okay. So anyhow, if I hear a motion on what to do with the CDs, do we just roll them or do we change them over to this 5 month?
I don't understand. I thought you said we've got to go to a 6 month.
No. If we just let it roll, it goes to a 6 month.
Okay, but
if we cash them out and move it to a 5 month.
Okay. Gotcha now. Okay.
Right. There's not a lot of difference in the interest rate. The problem is the 30 days.
Right.
Okay.
I make a motion to
do that?
Yeah, cash them out and put them in the 5 month.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. That's that. Next thing I'll hear is citywide yard sale. Okay. Just so you know, we normally do... We've been doing it the third week of May and the third week of September. But for the last 2 years that I've been checking, there's about 4 people that do the yard sale in May and about 9 people that do it in September. And as I've said before, I mean, we have to go through putting the signs out, which mobility issues are starting to become an issue with me, okay? And about the only thing I can do is ask, if we're going to do this, ask Commissioner Resendez. She'll go out and do the sign posting if we're going to do it, okay? So with that said, so I can get it posted on the website, okay?
Have you tried like doing one midway that you are it's been a tradition to do it twice?
We do it the same week that
always.
Coldstream does.
Oh, okay.
So the third weekend in May is the 16th. It's the week after Mother's
Day. Saturday, right?
It's a Saturday. Okay. And the rain date is always the 18th. So, or would be the 17th. So 16th is, with the rain date is 17th. And then in September, it would be the 19th and the 20th. So do I hear a motion on what we want to do? Thank you, Commissioner Resendez. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Okay. So the dates are...
You going to vote?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll say yeah. Even though I'd say no, but I'll say yeah. So we got May 16th with rain day of 17th, and September is the 19th with the rain day of the 20th. All right. I can get that posted on the website. All right. Any new business from the commissioners?
I do with the yard waste pickup. It will resume on 3/25 and run until November.
No, the...
Oh,
31st. No, it's a
31 to November 23rd. Sorry, my date's messed up.
Wait a minute. What year am I?
3/31/26.
No, it's got to be the 30th of March.
All my emails and everything has 3/31, and those were the dates. I have it.
Maybe I put it on the website wrong.
It's supposed to coincide with recycling.
Yeah, recycling.
Get the date.
Yes, ma'am.
May I make a comment about the yard waste?
Yeah.
I've been putting some out in the garbage just because, in fact, my grandson came over and was really clean. 2 weeks ago, he took my big yard waste can plus 4 bags. And he, because they have woods behind me, said, "Oh, Grandma," she said, "I'll dump them in the woods."
Yeah, I gotta fix that.
It is 3:30.
And
right.
I'm not the only one. Danny,
it's 3:30, so I gotta fix it on the website.
The guy across the street had 6 bags out, and I don't know if he took them or not because they disappeared.
I know. So
there's people cleaning their yards.
That's what our emails say.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we've got 2 cans full just waiting for March 31st.
I don't know why. I don't know why my calendar said that. But.
I'm serious. Do you have yard waste?
We have 2 cans of yard waste waiting for the 31st, and we just paid $70 to get rid of yard waste last week out on Cameron Road.
Yeah, I think you're going. Think about it. I don't know, does the contract renew or whatever, but those dates might need to be adjusted.
They're going to be from March 30th to November 23rd.
Because I've had yard waste for yard literally filled up my garbage, and I just sent it out with garbage. And then Jacob took all that other to dump in behind their house.
I have a bag myself. I do. And then with the weather getting warmer, I could see people getting out, getting their yards. That's what I do.
Well, just two more weeks.
It is, just two more weeks, but I understand.
We're not the only one that does this.
I just said...
You read next door. There's other neighborhoods that do the same thing.
Okay.
They don't start it. They ended in November and started back up in April. Okay. And so, is that it? So, we start back up on March 30th.
And then
the recycling day.
Through November 23rd.
Right. Because I was looking at 25. All right.
So it's not this coming week, but following the
next recycling day. Not this one coming up, the following recycling day.
It was Monday, yes.
So it's the next one.
Monday was our recycle day, so 2 weeks.
It was good seeing everybody, but I'm
going to
go ahead and slip out
here.
Good night.
See you next time.
Take care. Yeah, I'm going to try to get
anything else on old business?
Thank you.
Or new business? If not, commissioner report. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you, Commissioner.
3-1 email from Mayor Stoneham requesting dates for yard waste pickup for 2026. I then emailed Connor Slade with Ecotech asking if the city can resume yard waste pickup starting date March 30th, 2026, coinciding with our recycling pickup then ending November 23rd, 2026. 3-2, I called Connor Slade with Ecotech asking if he had read my email. He had not and stated that it was in his spam email, that he would confirm with operations and get back with me. 3-3, Connor emailed stating the dates were confirmed, and I had an email from Mayor Stone stating the dates for yard waste had been posted on the city's website. 3-4, email from resident reporting two toilets at curb 12001 Bay Run Drive. I called Ecotech inquiring if a pickup had been scheduled. It had not. The rep stated that she would go ahead and schedule because I was calling myself as the utility commissioner. She said that the resident is the one that should request, but would send a letter regarding trash pickup to the resident. I emailed the resident back with a complaint stating the toilets would be picked up Monday 3-9-2026. 3-7, drove city for streetlight check. 3-10, attended pipeline training. 3-12, reported streetlight out at 4121 Pacelli Place. 3-14, drove city for streetlight check. 3-17, attended city meeting, read all March emails, and will participate in the radio check.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. So, Commissioner Resendez or Commissioner Metcalf? Who wants to go next? Okay, Commissioner Resendez, go ahead.
I've got a commissioner report from 218 to 317. On 220, I emailed the landlord about a vehicle parked on the grass at a rental property on Halifax Drive. On 228, I received an email from a homeowner on Queen Anne's Court about her backyard trees. Metro 311 told her that the trees belong to the city of Washington Hills. I informed the homeowner that we need a property survey to verify the property lines before the next city meeting. No response. On March 9, I emailed the landlord about the rental property on Northumberland Drive about a vehicle parked on the utility easement. On 317 today, I emailed another landlord about a rental property on Halifax Drive regarding tenants parking on the lawn and utility easement.
Thank you, Commissioner Resendez. Commissioner Metcalf.
Commissioner's report.
You got to speak up now.
Commissioner's report 12-17-26. I drove the city various times, went to the post office each Friday with Mayor Stoneham from 3-13-26, Minnesota Language Storage, Dennis Small's office, get checks signed in the post office. Conduct the radio checks after last city meeting using Channel 13, live review Channel 14. On 3-10-26, Mayor Stoneham, Commissioner Mulpin, and myself attended pipeline safety training at Tom Sawyer Park. On 3-16-26, Mayor Stoneham and I monitored and checked in on our radios using Channel 1 during the tornado storm warning.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All right, is there anything else? If not, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting? Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. It is 8:20.